And welcome to another edition of the Sunday Wrap. Scratchy intro music there probably reflects the scratchy performance of the Crows on the weekend. Thankfully tonight you won't have to listen to me by myself. I'm joined by board legend, guru, and all-round good guy, Macca 23. How you going, Macca?
Phoenix, after that massive introduction.
It's good to have you along, mate, for your inaugural Sunday night show. And I'm sure, given the result and the way that we played, we should have an interesting discussion tonight. So just cool your heels on that for a moment, mate, and I'll just go through the weekend's results as soon as my little thing loads here. Yeah, there we go. So Friday night, obviously, we know about. So Saturday, we had the Kangaroos, predictably, although it was quite a tight game, getting up over the Bombers, 10 goals 14 to 8 goals 12. The Hawks rather comfortably over the Dockers by 41 points. We had the Giants giving the Suns a bit of a touch-up. Poor old depleted Suns at the moment, and they lost another player, Saad, as well, going down by close on 100 points. We had Collingwood smashing the Lions. I didn't predict that result to that extent anyway, winning by 12 goals, 13 goals nearly. The Tigers just keeping their season alive, just keeping the dream alive, Macca, getting up by the skin of their teeth by a point over the Swans. They have a habit of winning those freak games and then doing nothing for the rest of the year.
Well, they're very lucky to bounce.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, they'll ride that for another month. That'll keep the Tiger dream alive, mate. Today, we had a fantastic result. The Blue Baggers getting up over the Power by 2 points after the Power looked to have the game won with a couple of minutes to go. A bit of premature something or other there by the Power. So it sort of provides a little bit of balm to the wounds that we're feeling after Friday night. We had the Bulldogs getting up quite comfortably over the Demons. They never really looked in trouble today. And the Wiggles giving the poor old a bit of a touch-up over there. The West Coast continuing to show their flat-track bully prowess, getting up by 103 points. So that leaves us, I'm pretty sure that leaves us just inside the eight by about four percent points. So the ladder as it sits after the completion of round eight, we have the top eight: North, Geelong, GWS up to third, Sydney, Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn, West Coast, who had a nice little percentage builder today, and the Crows rounding out the top eight, with really only the contenders left being Melbourne, Port and Carlton. And you couldn't really see any of those teams breaking through. Perhaps Melbourne, if either ourselves or West Coast fall over. But really, a top eight spot now, Macca, for us is there for the taking, wouldn't you say?
No, I totally agree with what you've been saying there, because we've been through a very hard part of our rounds and our program for the season. If we look at Port Adelaide, who were one of the rivals for that position in the eight, they've had probably the easy part. I know they've played against Geelong, but I'm not sure who else had played out of any particular note. And they have lost games to teams that I wouldn't rate overly highly. So I think that if we win what we should win, well, we'll definitely finish inside the eight, somewhere between sixth and eighth at best, and that's where I probably had us all, even before the season started. But we do have to really, always, have to improve that midfield. We're not really firing too well there.
Absolutely, Macca. Absolutely. And we can get into that in more detail in a general comment. The midfield got absolutely slaughtered, and we may as well move on to the Crows Cats game. Just for those of you living under a rock who don't know the score, it was 13 goals 20 by the Cats. They were 5 goals 13 at half time, 12 more scoring shots than us at half time. Should have had the game sewn up. 13 goals 20 98 to 11 goals 6 72. A very disappointing performance. Now, Macca, I don't know about you, but as an initial comment to me, what I saw from our lads, particularly our midfielders. But I also rewatched the game today because I'm a masochist, apparently, and noticed a few things. We played with no intent outside the contest.
What do you mean exactly by that, Phoenix?
Well, I noticed in particular our willingness to chase and our willingness to make space, to spread both offensively and defensively just wasn't there. We were certainly happy to take it to them in the contest, but when the ball got on the outside, we were very flat-footed, and I'll touch on a few players a little later, but certainly as a group, I saw a lot of players just jogging on the spot or just half-heartedly chasing and really not playing with intent in terms of trying to take control of the game.
There were two players that, in my opinion, that really, really tried to take control of the game for Adelaide, and they really deserved to be knighted after their efforts on Friday night. And Rory Sloane, absolutely outstanding. He not only took on the role of needling and niggling away at Dangerfield and getting his mind off the game a bit. And although Danger got a lot of the ball, he didn't really hurt us all that much with it. So Rory was outstanding. And Charlie Cameron, he's the one that did try to get control of the game. And those two boys in particular, credit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're right. But you can't have two blokes carrying the can against a team like Geelong, coming back to Adelaide Oval and playing another top eight contender, we would have been same. And for the large part,
I'm sorry, you're breaking up there, mate.
There we go. That better?
That's better.
Yeah. So I'll just go through some of the head-to-head stats, Macca. There's a couple of things that really stick out and probably reflect how I saw the game. Kicks were pretty even, 220 to us, 213 to them. Handballs, however, 106 to 169, so a 63 handball differential there. Overall disposals, as a consequence, we lost by about 50-odd, 326 to 382. Kick to handball ratio. Now we were two kicks to one handball on our ratio, 2.08, whereas the Geelong Cats were one handball to 1.26. So just a few more kicks to handball there. Marks pretty even, tackles pretty even, hit outs pretty even. Frees were heavily in our favour, so nothing to complain about there. What else have we got here that's worth talking about? Our conversion rate, 64.7% over the Geelong Cats, 39.4%. So obviously they wasted the ball terribly. Inside 50s, 44 to us, 61 to them, really reflect their dominance.
Can't argue with that. That's been a problem.
Well, you're breaking up again, mate. No problem.
I get massive feedback here.
There you go. Keep going.
I see, okay. No, that's been a problem week after week, that we don't too much of the ball to get into their forward lines. And basically, I think one of the major problems is the way we're bringing it out of our back lines. If you don't hit targets, if you don't through, it just keeps bouncing back in there, and eventually they're going to score.
Yep, exactly right. And I took notice when I watched the replay back, how many scores, you can't say goals because it kicked too many points, but how many scoring opportunities they created from return inside 50. So meaning we get the ball out of defensive 50 only for it to be turned over around the midfield and sent back in. And I think I made a comment on the board on Saturday that what would happen was that we'd hat kick it out of defence and it'd get to a contested situation or go to an opposition player. They would run it back in. Obviously, our defence is out of position or caught one out and out of position, and they would get a scoring shot as a result. It just time after time after time, particularly in the first half, where we just continually turn the ball over coming out of defence, largely because we were panic kicking out of defence.
Yeah, absolutely correct. There were probably about another four or five occasions I can think of that they actually weren't panicked. Our guys were clear and looking for a chest to hit. But instead of going more around the boundary, and when Geelong were camped and occupying the midfield and preventing us from going through there, we still gambled trying to hit one guy amongst five others, five of the opposition, and we obviously missed, turned it over, and they came back for scores.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I commented after the Bulldogs game that over the last couple of weeks we've been in the corridor, and the first thing that I saw when I started watching the game on Friday night, well, the first thing that I noted was how crowded it was. And I don't know whether it was just the nature of the game, but I think Geelong made a concerted effort to compress the ground. They pushed their forward and defensive zones up, and it was very crowded through the middle of the ground, and it was reflected in my old favourite, the heat map, which showed that the game was very much played across the centre third of the ground. And I think, you know, without getting too heavily into strategy just yet, I think Geelong banked on their ability to match us in close and to spread better than we did, and that's basically how it worked out.
Yes, and the same old situation that always applies to us is that four at the contest, and they've got four at the contest. All of our four rush in against maybe two of theirs or maybe three of theirs at best, and they've got somebody on the outside to take the ball away. We just keep falling for this every time.
Yep, absolutely right. Now, just before we get too heavily involved in talking strategy and tactics and all that, I'll just run through some of the notables statistically. As you mentioned earlier, Rory Sloane was an absolute beast, 28 disposals, 15 kicks, 13 handballs, 6 marks, 2 of those inside 50, 11 tackles. His disposal efficiency was up around 71.4, so certainly very acceptable there. 9 clearances as well, just an absolute beast of a game by Rory Sloane.
Absolute ripper of a game, and you know, he really played what I would call a captain's knock, and in some ways it's a pity that he's not the skipper.
Well, you know, he certainly, I know the West Coast Eagles used to have Judd as a skipper and Cousins as the spiritual leader. He's certainly our spiritual leader, I think.
Absolutely.
Other notables from a disposal perspective, Henderson had 25 disposals, 20 kicks, and yet I don't remember one of them except the ones that he turned over, so 20 pretty meaningless kicks from my perspective. Rory Atkins had 22 kicks, 4 marks. He had 8 contested possessions. He had just travelling under 70% disposal efficiency. And 5 clearances as well. Not a bad game from Rory, but he is one of the players that I noticed, particularly in the first half, Macca, that seagulled the contest. When they broke clear, Rory was too busy covering space rather than actually attacking the player. And I think Rory's got to learn, he's very good with the ball in hand, but he's got to learn that when it's his time to go, he needs to commit and actually put pressure on the opposition when they've got the ball.
Very difficult to add very much to what you've just said, because Atkins has been slowly winning me around to think that he is probably going to be a player of the future, because he's got some pretty fancy manoeuvres with his sidestepping, etc. And generally, his disposal's pretty good. But you are right. My one criticism of him has always been, toughen up, son. You know, eat a few spoonfuls of cement and get in there and get hands dirty as well.
Yeah, he's guilty of ball watching, I think, and spectating a little bit. And I think he's got to, I don't know what his personality is like. I've heard he's a bit of a larrikin and whatnot, but he needs to be a little bit more assertive. He needs to understand that he belongs in the team and that he can actually make a difference apart from just being that outlet player that he's been. And don't get me wrong, his disposal by foot is generally pretty good. And he's certainly worth having in the team, at least for that reason. And he is getting enough of the ball now, but he needs to assert himself when the other team have got the ball and just make himself a bit more accountable when the ball's going the other way. a couple. I got to say, we had. Let me just read these names out to you, Macca. Brody Smith, 6 possessions. Richard Douglas, 8 possessions. Paul Seedsman, 9 possessions. We had Brad Crouch, 14 possessions. Matt Crouch, 16 possessions. Scotty Thompson, 20 possessions. It's not the output you need from a midfield group, is it?
Well, I've made a few notes here about the midfield, and we've got the biggest mother of a hiding the midfield's ever seen. In terms of players who got more than 20 possessions, let's say more than 20 possessions, we had one, Rory Sloan.
Yep.
Tomo got 20. I was just looking through the guys that rolled through their midfield. There's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 7 of them that got over 20 possessions.
That's right.
And they used the ball so well on top of that when I look at that, I say to myself, well, how the hell do we not get beaten by more?
Yeah.
It just got me beat. So we really are getting smacked in the midfield, because you didn't mention Douglas with his 8 possessions either.
Yeah, I did. He was the first one I mentioned.
Sorry, I was probably still thinking about all the other ones we've got. But you know, they've got a show. You know, if you listen to 3AW, they've got a thing called Smacks and Sweets. And, you know, we've only got a couple of guys to give sweets to in our team, and that would have been Rory and young Cameron, in my opinion. But, geez, we had a few that we could give smacks to, all right, and... I think you've just about named them all there.
Yeah. Well, by contrast, you know, Guthrie had 36 possessions. Dangerfield had 33, even though I thought him and Sloaney had a pretty even battle, and I think Sloaney probably shaded him in terms of effectiveness. Bartell had 25. Motlop had 24. Selwood had 24. Mitch Duncan had 22. Josh Caddy had 21. That's their midfield group right there. So aside from Rory, they outnumbered every other midfielder on our team. Not only that, Brody Smith, when he did get the ball, 50% disposal efficiency. Richie Douglas, 62% disposal efficiency. Paul Seedsman, 33% disposal efficiency. Brad Crouch, 35% disposal efficiency. Matt Crouch, 43% disposal efficiency. So we were almost, and Scotty Thompson, 45% disposal efficient. We were almost better off them not getting the bloody ball, because whenever they got the ball, more often than not, they turned the damn thing over anyway.
Well, it's very hard to argue with those numbers, because I've made a similar note here myself. But it brings us to some of the selections there, because or lack of moves, because you mentioned Smith and you mentioned Seedsman, and they are almost they look like each other and they move like each other and they kick long like each other. That's if they ever get the ball, and they was performing so poorly. Why would any coach not just swap the two over? I just couldn't work that out, and I think that Smith perhaps give it a little bit of run, but it just wasn't working the way it was.
No. The move that did seem to work is Charlie Cameron getting himself more involved. I thought, despite the fact that he only had the 19 touches or the 19 disposals, I thought his effort at the contest, his intent, which was sorely lacking from others, his willingness to chase and tackle, he was certainly doing everything he possibly could to provide a spark. And that's exactly the type of player that we need running through the midfield. He's dynamic. He might not have the engine, so we might be able to only use him in short bursts, but I really want to see more of Charlie Cameron in the midfield over the next few weeks.
Loved his game, actually, because even when he didn't get the ball himself, he harassed the living shitter out of it, the guys who did have the ball. And, he sometimes made a situation where it looked an absolute certainty that they would clear the ball, and he's turned it into a 50-50 ball or even knocked it away to our advantage. So you don't get a stat for that, but, it all counts.
Exactly. Of the other players, just before we move on to over to a more general comment, I thought our defence battled gamely. I thought Talia and... Hawkins had a nil or draw, pretty much. I thought Hardigan was relatively serviceable, although he did turn over the ball a little bit. I thought Chaney, a lot of people, again, rabbiting on about Chaney, I thought he was okay. Beat Danger a couple of times, won out. Didn't like Henderson's game. Obviously, he carried the ball a bit, got 20 kicks, so you can't, like 20 uncontested out of 23 disposals. So certainly, for a defender, that's a very high differential towards uncontested possessions. And whilst he disposed of it well at 76%, I do recall a couple of times that he turned it over in quite critical moments. Forward line, Lynchy did all right. I thought they obviously identified him as a key outlet for us. I thought Tex was down after a bright start, failed to exert himself after halftime. Jenkins continued to play like a seagull. It's all right when we've got an open forward line and we're getting the ball over the back, but Josh didn't contest the way we needed him to. Eddie Betts was flashy, tried hard, got a bit of a hit knock, I think, halfway through the game, and I think that quietened him down in the second half. But aside from that, Wayne Miller, I think, we made a mistake not playing him or not giving him some game time in the SANFL last week. We held him out for the match and he looked short of a run as a result. I would have rather have either seen him play a half last week or not play for the ones this week. But we know what he can do and he's certainly not the worst. But with McKay being a 15 to 20 possession winner, irrespective of, you know, McKay's faults, getting 11 posies out of Miller was not enough.
No, I can't argue about that at all. In fact, I was advocating before the game that Lyon should be the man to come in, and because I think McKay's had a very good year, actually, and he's been averaging around about that 20 possessions a game, and we dropped back dramatically with Miller. He gave him 11. I thought he had about 9, but...
yeah, you're right, actually, it was 9.
Yep, and... look, he just, you're right. And I don't think, but I still don't think he was the right man in a very, very tough game to bring in when he's only had a handful of games and it's asking just too much of an 18-year-old lad to make a big impact, I think, anyhow. And I thought that Lyons, who was in very, very good form, and he was actually chipping in with a couple of goals here and there as well. And I've never been a great G for Lyons, but I've had to admit that this year, he's gone a little bit past the vanilla that he normally was last year, and I thought he's been a good contributor this year, and he's actually deserved his spot on the side. So he was extremely unlucky not to be the one to come in, and I think we would have gone better if he had have come in, because at least the guy, he will have a real crack to get the ball, and he's not frightened to go into packs either, and he can kick a goal or two. But yep. coming back to the backline players, I totally agree with you. I thought that... Talia couldn't have done much more on his guy. He had, as you say, about a break-even situation with him. Chaney, I thought, did a good job, actually. And, you know, he's not fashionable, he's not pretty, and certainly not pretty. But, you know, I thought he was quite effective. And in a very, very quiet way, I thought Brown didn't do a bad job. But you are right about Henderson, for God's sake. Look, this man is the soft cock of the year. I can say that?
Yep.
Well, he is the soft cock of the year, seriously. He's got some skills. He looks good when he's got the ball. But he's getting it under, as you say, under full circumstances. They're not contested situations. He's getting the ball easy. It makes him look good. Whereas the guy he's replaced in Lairdy used to... He'd take knocks and blows, and he'd earn hard balls. And once he'd
sit in the hole.
Absolutely, and he would nearly almost 100% disposal rate. So we really do misled something chronic, and Henderson is a poor man substitute, in my opinion. He just hasn't got, well, he's a soft cop.
Well, you know, Henderson was basically playing on Corey Gregson, from what I can imagine, from what I can gather. Corey Gregson's only played a couple of games this year and, you know, not the most threatening forward out of a lot of them. So, you know, Hendo for his possession count, I just thought he was ineffective. He doesn't, as you say, he doesn't do what a defender needs to do. He doesn't get in the hole. He doesn't come over the top. He doesn't break lines. When he was kicking out, it was just that, you know, long kick to the right-hand halfback flank. Just a very, very, very vanilla performance. And I think his strengths are his speed and his running, and he's not too bad overhead one-on-one. You just play him up the ground, or you don't play him at all. You know, if you want to play him on the wing. Do not play him in a bloody back pocket. We've got Harrison Wigg, who's been playing well in the twos. We need to start playing some of these blokes, and I think Harry Wigg deserved a run, and probably deserves a run. If Leddy's out this week, I really would want to say, it won't happen, but I really would like to see Harrison Wigg in there this week.
I think you summed that up very well. It'd be nice to see him there, but I don't think it'll happen.
No. The last thing before we move on to just a general chit-chat, Macca, I just wanted... This has been a bugbear of mine all year, and it continues to happen. Most other midfields, when you look at time on ground stats, most other midfields tend to average around about the 80% mark for each of their midfielders. If I look at Geelong, Guthrie at 72, Dangerfield 86 because he plays a bit forward, Selwood 85... Mitch Duncan 87, Josh Caddy 82, so they're all around that low to mid 80s mark. But continually what I have seen with us this year is Scott Thompson spending far too much time on the ground, and we've seen it again. Roy Sloan 82%, Scott Thompson 84%, and then you go down to the Crouch boys, Matt Crouch 69%, Brad Crouch 68%, Richie Douglas 67%. Now we've either got a problem with rotations, or we've got a bias towards not giving the Crouch boys too much time on ground, or Scotty Thompson is pulling rank and not coming off when he should. But it has happened over and over again, and it happens when we lose. And it just seems to me as if Scott Thompson does not get the hell off the ground when he needs a rest, and a bloke of his age with his lack of fitness and his lack of speed, he shouldn't be the guy spending the most of all our midfielders on the ground. What do you reckon?
It's hard to argue against that, but one of the problems was the fact that the other guys weren't getting kicks, so they weren't getting the ball. I thought Brad Crouch was abysmal. Brad's going to be a very good player in the long run, but he's been out the game for a long time, and that long break is really showing up. I didn't think it was going to show up this much, but it's really made a fool out of me. I thought he'd come in and go bang, but he's gone poof instead of bang.
Yeah,
you know, he's done very, very little. And on top of that, his disposal rate was terrible. His conversion rate, you know, to hitting a target.
35%.
Yeah, terrible. And so I don't think Brad was capable of being on the ground much longer than that. And Matty Crouch, who I think he gets a raw go, I think, in my opinion. Right from the word go, I've always thought he should be on the ground longer than he is. But he's always been getting that 60-something percent rather than something like 75 to 80%, which then by default means you've got Douglas and Tomo, in particular, spending more time on the ground. Now, whether that's by plan or design or what, I'm not really sure, but because it happens every week, I think it has to be.
Well, it does. And the surprising stat is that Richie Douglas was only on the ground 67% of the time. Now, I didn't notice an injury, so that's a very low percentage of time on the ground for a senior player. Not that he had much input into the game, but... if he got injured, it'll be interesting to see during the week whether he's named as a test or an out, because 67% for Richie Douglas, irrespective of his output, is too low. And at the moment, we are relying on too few in the middle, you know, far too few in the middle. Perhaps that's actually why we saw Charlie Cameron rotate through the middle. Maybe that was a direct reflection of Douglas's lack of output. But something's got to change in there. I want to see Lyons in, and I want to see Cameron Ellis-Yeoman in. I think we need to make some changes. We're too one-dimensional in the middle at the moment. And Matty Crouch gets all his possessions within, you know, 10 metres of the centre circle, basically. If you look at his heat map again this week, not much input outside of the centre stop or centre bounces. He needs to get more involved around the ground, more involved in the around-the-ground stoppages than he's not at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. He's learning the craft, and I remember when Dangerfield first started, he had the same knock on him that he was very, very good in a pack and very good at getting the ball out of a pack, but he wasn't very good at getting free ball. And Matty Crouch has got to learn to get free ball as well. You know, there's nothing wrong in getting an easy kick if you do your job in the clinches as well. But coming back to what you were saying about you would like to see Lyons and CEY come in this week, that means two go out. Brad Crouch, to me, would be my very first one out. Because I don't think Brad's ready for AFL at this stage. But who would be your other one?
Douglas.
That won't happen.
Well, no, I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying that's what should happen. Richie Douglas, 2 weeks running, he's had less than 10 disposals, Macca. 2 weeks running. He needs a rest. He's either carrying something or he's sorely out of form, but either way, he needs to be dropped.
On those numbers, absolutely. I still wouldn't say that I've got confidence that would happen.
No. I think there were minimal changes this week because I think Pikey wanted the team to be able to take responsibility for the loss over the Western Bulldogs, but they didn't. So I'm hoping that selection this week sees a few gold passes withdrawn. And Richard Douglas, for mine, would be top of the list. And I don't know about Brad Crouch. I would actually, you know what I would do with Brad Crouch? I would actually take him out of the middle. I would, if you want to start putting Charlie through the middle, which I think is a good move, then what's wrong with rotating Charlie and Brad Crouch up forward?
Well, I don't know that Brad's ever been a great goal kicker, has he?
Well, his brother's all right, and I don't think we've ever seen him up forward. So, you know, let him take the stoppages in the forward 50. Give him a run through the middle. But I would like to see Brad stay in the team because I think he needs – it's not so much about pace for Brad. I think it's the pace of the game. You know, he runs around and gets a lazy 35 in the SANFL. It does him absolutely no good whatsoever. I think he needs to pick up the pace of the game, and the more time we can have him in the ones on the ground, the better. But he's a liability in the middle, but he is a class player. So I think you'd stick him up forward, give him limited time in the middle, rotate him with Charlie, who's obviously very dynamic in the middle, and that gives you some versatility.
Certainly making a very good case there. I mean, because you're bringing Charlie into the middle, and I think as Charlie demonstrated when he was playing on the wing there, he really did add it a little bit of oomph and a little bit of bite. So it would be a very good part of Charlie's overall learning process, and I think he's learning very quickly, to have a little run in the middle now and again, and as you say, change with Brad. So yeah, you're starting to win me over a little bit with it. It could well work.
Well, given it's Gold Coast next week, and we'll touch on that a little bit later, but given it's Gold Coast, not to take any team lightly, but if ever you're going to try something, it would be against a team like the Gold Coast at the moment, particularly with their depleted defence. So I think it's worth a shot. I think Cam Ellis-Yeoman needs to be given an opportunity to show his value to the team. We've had him on the list for 6 years. He showed something at the beginning of last year, and then for whatever reason with the whole Walshy tragedy and events after that, he fell off the radar a little bit. But he's been playing well in the twos now for a couple of weeks. He looks like he's back in good form, and I think he gives us another point of difference in the middle of the ground. And I think Jared Lyons deserves to be in the team, and it's a shame that he got dropped on the back of a name player like Brad Crouch, but I think Jared needs to come back in, and I think Richard Douglas is the one to give way for him in that rotation.
So are your two outs and become Douglas and Millerer?
Douglas and Miller come out. CEY and Lyons come in with Charlie and Brad Crouch rotating between the forward half and the midfield. That's what I would do.
Well, Coach, I'll say that at least you've got a plan and you've got an idea, and we perhaps should test it out and see how it goes.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say on that whole coach with a plan scenario, I don't know how you saw the game, Macca, but I felt again that Pikey got a bit out-coached. Chris Scott came with a plan to compress the ground. If you have a look at the replay, particularly in the first half, the numbers around the contest, that it was very squeezed up. They made a specific attempt to get lots of numbers around the ball and make the ground very small. And like you said, we were getting sucked into the contest. They would commit one or two to the contest but sit outside as well. And what was happening is, because we had so many in the contest, when we did win possession, it was a hat kick out, which generally bounced back out, you know, their way. Or if they extracted the ball, they were able to use a chain of handballs to spread and get us in one-out situations up forward. Pikey didn't seem to be able to counter that.
Well, and what you're saying is 100% correct. I thought Pikey had the pants coached off him. There's not, he made one or two moves that work. I mean, the Cameron one was a very good move. And also putting Rory Sloane onto danger and needling him without dogging him everywhere. Well, he did sort of half dog him, but I thought his handling of that situation was very good.
Yeah.
But there weren't too many other points I'd give to Pikey at all. I thought that what you said is correct, that they our game has been relying pretty heavily on going through the middle, and in the last two matches we've played, with what the teams have done is deny us access through that.
Yep. They've also denied us space. You know, you'll notice when we come in the first few games, like in the Port game and the Richmond game specifically, when we were rebounding out of our defensive 50, there was acres of space, right? But you'll notice now, and it's happened now for the last, it happened against Hawthorn, Western Bulldogs and now Geelong, they don't commit as many players forward. So they push up from the back half when they go forward, so that when we rebound out, there's either an even contest of three or four, or we're actually outnumbered on the outlet, so that they're able to turn the ball over and get the ball back inside. And it happened consistently. And because we're not using handball now to cut through that I'm going to call it a defensive zone, when we're rebounding out, we're not using aggressive handball. We're hat-kicking now. The ball's just coming back in, and either that's a team not following game plan or we haven't adapted to that change in strategy, because it was a very easy game plan of ours to work out, and it's been worked out already.
Yeah, you're totally right there. Geelong also had Enright back all the time. Normally the teams get sucked in, and I mean, when we played Port Adelaide, for example, Port Adelaide really got sucked in. All their players went right up to the centre line. Not a sausage behind the centre line.
Yep.
And we had acres to kick the ball into and to run onto the ball. But you are correct. Enright stayed back, and he stayed back around about the centre-half back position all the time. So yep. there wasn't that acres of room. There was perhaps some room, but it was always near the boundary.
That's right.
So Chris Scott had thought it out pretty well, I think.
Yeah, and what you're saying about the boundaries is absolutely correct, because if you have a look at the disposal maps, you'll see that there's a lot of disposals concentrated around the wing and our half forward line, around about the boundary line there. So there's a lot of I don't know the throw in numbers, but it seems to me that they were quite content to either cause a turnover in that part of the ground or to get it out of bounds and reset at that part of the ground, rather than allow us that space there. And it's happened for the last month. Teams have worked out that all you got to do is block outlet and push up to deny a space, and we're struggling. And we have struggled to transition, and as a result, not only are we not getting the ball in our front half often enough, but because of the return inside 50s that the other team are getting, their inside 50s are blowing out.
Yep, that's 100% right. And I wouldn't have said perhaps the last month, but certainly the last two, it's been very dramatically obvious to spot that they're just playing slightly differently than teams did in the early days. But it still comes back to the quality of personnel. It always comes back to the quality of personnel that you've got at your disposal. And at the moment, you know, we can say we don't miss Dangerfield. Pig's ass, we don't miss Dangerfield.
Of course we do.
And, you know, you read those midfield figures out before. And I know I'm a bit of a... Because I played midfield... The midfield to me is always the gem of the team, and if you've got a very good midfield, you're very likely to win the game.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, we have got an eclectic mix of quite senior players who seem to have slowed down quite dramatically, and a couple of young lads with big raps that perhaps we're asking too much too soon of. But that's just the nature of the beast at the moment. And, you know, bloke sitting in the twos that could probably fix that situation. Just to touch on what we were talking about a second ago, Macca, we only spent 38% of our time in the forward half, 62% in the defensive half. We only had 37 possessions in our forward 50 for the match. 37.
And it just goes to show we do have the best attack in the competition. We do. And in terms of personnel, just when you take the composite variety that we've got there as well, you know, every one of those players is different, and it's a very good midfield, a very good forward setup. And our back line is quite adequate. There's perhaps one or two little weaknesses at the moment, but in midfield, we, as you say, we've got some ageing stars and we've got some young ones on the rise, but we just don't have... I mean, Dangerfield was one of him and Sloan, for example, that leaves us with one rather than two that are at their peak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a personnel issue to a large degree. You know... It's all very well having all the forward line, you know, razzle dazzle that we've got up there, but if you only get it in there 37 times, or 44 times, I think we got it in there for 37 possessions, and that's an interesting stat when I think about it. We had 44 inside 50s, so we got the ball actually went into our forward 50 44 times, and yet we only had 37 possessions. So not only did we coming straight out. But we weren't having, like, the ball would go in and we weren't, it must indicate that we weren't having multiple possessions in the forward line. The ball was going in and coming out. Wasn't spending a lot of time in the forward half.
It comes back to that situation again where instead of having Akers to put the ball into and to get hold of the ball, we were forced to go around the boundary and we were denied that opportunity of going straight through as we were before, and therefore it was going to a contest more often than not, and we didn't win all those contests, did we?
Well, let's just have a look at that for a second. 44 inside 50s. In our forward 50, the two teams combined for 105 possessions. Of those 105 possessions, we had 37 of them. Geelong had 68 of them. So that's a pretty glaring statistic that we were their possession in our forward 50 almost doubled ours.
Yeah, and yet you can't think of one of their backmen that really dominated any of our forwards, so that says the ball wasn't really being delivered to the forwards very well at all.
Exactly right, exactly right. And not only that, I felt our forwards played from behind far too often. If you are going to have this hat-kick situation out of a stoppage, the last thing you want to be doing is playing behind. And Tex does it, although in the first half he was attacking the ball better than I've seen him for a while, but then he moved back into his old habits. Jenkins does it all the bloody time. He tries to nudge the bloke out under the ball. Eddie Betts, for all his talent, he does it as well when he's in a marking situation. He tries to nudge the ball under and get him out the back. We haven't got a bloke apart from Tommy Lynch who will actually lead up and hit the ball. The rest of our marking for Mitchie McGovern probably, but he's not getting near it enough at the moment. But we need, if we're going to be playing that hat kick, not that I like it, but if that's what's going to, if that's what, our forwards need to be playing in front.
Yeah, I think the way that Pocky's got it structured is that we've got Lynchy as the lead up. McGovern's another one that's supposed to be a decoy to make space for in particular for Jenkins. Even Tex is being used quite often as a lead up, but which is sometimes why you'll even find him on the wrong side of centre.
Yeah.
And the, which the idea being, you know, so the people with the afterburners, such as Cameron and Eddie Betts, etc., that they've got a lot of room to work in, but I just think that that situation, we weren't travelling well enough for that situation, and Geelong denied us that space anyhow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we've covered it in a nutshell, Macca. Is there anything else that you wanted to raise before we seal it in a cement case and send it to the bottom of the ocean?
Well, it can certainly go there. Well, I think, you know, we've played eight games so far. We've played four against the teams that are top four. Four of the top five. And we haven't been disgraced against them. So what that tells us is the fact that we're thereabouts, but we're not there. And then you have to say, well, where aren't we there? And, well, if we've got a good forward line, but back line, we could do with another nice centre back like a Hurley from Essendon would be a great person to be targeting. But also, we definitely really need a very good, speedy midfielder. That's what we really need to add to our repertoire.
Yeah, I think we're too one-dimensional in the middle. Kirtley Hampton, when he comes good, I think will provide us a point of difference across halfback and maybe with some midfield cameos. And I've already mentioned what I think should happen in the middle. But I'm not probably as philosophical as you, Macca. I think we really got found out on Friday night. I think Geelong exposed us in a way that no other team has so far. I mean, yes, we've lost to Hawthorn and the Kangaroos and the Bulldogs, but in all those games we were in it, and in all those games we looked to be on even pegging with the opposition, but we never looked in it against Geelong. We could have easily lost by 10 goals against Geelong, and I felt from a game plan perspective as well as a personnel perspective, we really got shown up for the team that we were. And you watch the hype drop off the Adelaide Crows now in the media, because I think we've probably been exposed as, you know, maybe still as a 6-10 team with some glaring deficiencies in the midfield. And, you know, for all those people who, I forget who the media guy was who said that Dangerfield was going to cost us four wins, like the loss of Dangerfield. I think it might have been Mark Robinson or someone like that, but he was dead set right. Because Dangerfield in our team probably sees us at 6-2, maybe even 7-1 with the games that we've lost.
So, yeah, I reckon you're right. 7-1 I'd go for, yeah.
Yeah, probably only Friday night's game he couldn't have influenced as much.
He could have even done that too, though.
Yeah, well, possibly. I mean, him not being in Geelong's team and being in our teams, that's a fair differential. So, anyway... All right, mate. Well, just before we go, we'll just have touch on briefly the match coming up. We've got the Gold Coast next week up at Surfers. What do you reckon?
Well, you know, I think you summed it up very well before that. I mean, it's a should-win game, and I'd be absolutely mortified if we lost this game. But this is a game to experiment just a little bit in the areas that we're not travelling too well in, and that is obviously the midfield. I think it's absolutely important that both Lyons and CEY comes in, and then I think that's Miller out, and I've got a feeling it won't be Douglas, but anyway, whoever it is that goes out, I do think it's important to bring these two boys in because we do need some new blood in that midfield.
Well, and not only that, mate, if you're going to have blokes on a list and not play them for 6 years, why bother having him on a list? You know, we retained Cam Ellis-Yeoman. We could have very easily delisted him or traded him off or whatever. We've kept him on the list for a reason. He's been a slow burn. He came from a long way back, one of those, you know, quote-unquote project players. But he gives us that point of difference. And, you know, the midfield is going to get towed up week in, week out by fast teams. The game has sped up from a ball movement perspective. And we need different players in the middle, and I think he's a key. And I think also Jared Lyon's earned his spot. I also reckon that we're going to need to think about what we're going to do about Source Jacobs. I didn't touch on him before, but he should have dominated their ruckman, and he didn't.
Probably the reason he didn't dominate them is because, particularly the one they got from St Kilda, he's got a hell of a spring on him, and Jacobs at the moment is not jumping overly high.
He's not jumping over a blade of grass.
I said last week he wouldn't have squashed a caterpillar if he landed. He's barely leaving the ground.
Well, and not only that, he's not taking marks. I mean, there was an obvious mark that he should have taken up forward. That he could have taken comfortably on his chest, and he basically went for it one-handed in the end. It was disgraceful, and he's not playing with a lot of confidence. The team in general seems to have lost that willingness to play aggressively and to move the ball aggressively. So I'm hopeful that with the heat slightly off against Gold Coast, not that they haven't got a bad midfield, we might return to that aggressive ball-moving style and perhaps work a couple of these blokes back into form.
Yeah, and look, I think you're spot on there, and I hope that Pikey does say to these boys, look, you've had a series of hard games, and I mean, you can't take the option lightly, but I want you to really have a crack at moving the ball quickly, try and get the game plan that we've been practicing all pre-season and that we had going pretty well early. We've got to just move that ball a little bit quicker, and that way that'll stop the people from blocking us. And, you know, I just hope we kick them rough, really get our game going and kick them off the park.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We need to not only win, but win well, I think. You know, percentage is an issue, and we've probably let a few off the hook with Port and Richmond not winning by as much as we should. So we need to take care of Gold Coast and get some confidence back, start enjoying the playing the footy again that we played earlier in the season, and turn it around a bit. Mate, it's been great having you on with me tonight. Excellent insight, as I knew you'd provide, and hopefully we'll have you again on Sunday night. Future.
Happy to be here.
Very good. That's the ball game from us this week. Thanks to Macca, as I mentioned. And sorry about the choppy audio. My internet's a bit funny tonight, but hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you on Tuesday night for Tuesday Night Live. Bear with me a sec, Maker.